Yeah, that's right. They end up with 113 marks, which is, you know, that's world record stuff. And you, as you said, I think Carlton will be really disappointed with the lack of pressure and then the lack of defensive system. They've been growing that area over the last month or so, and it's been an area that's caused them real issues over the whole season. But they've grown that over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But for that little letdown today, I'm sure they'll be really disappointed, Tiggy especially.
So after last week's second half, that's where they really put the foot to the floor and really powered away against the Pies. And they showed a glimpse of what they're capable of. To then dish out something like what we've seen today against the bottom place side of the competition, just how deflating, frustrating, even from a... I know you're now removed from the coach's box, but just the general mood and the attitude of just being so frustrated and torn, because it's just... there's one moment it's great, and then the next minute it's so inconsistent.
I think the disappointment would be significant at the moment because of the fact that they've built quite nicely over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And as you said, the second half last week was really good and really positive. From an offensive point of view, the Pies looked like they dropped away a little bit. So it was a little bit of a hard one to garnish much information off, other than the fact that they could execute really well. But their defensive intent, for lack of better words, was just not there today. And I think the other part of the equation was when they had ball in hand and when they went forward, not having Harry Mackay there, he'll be very upset with me pronouncing it like that. Harry Mackay, Big Jukes Mackay, we call him. But they just looked a little bit lost going inside 50. They're not having that set target. I mean, Jack Silvani had to come out, who'd been really good forward last week. He did pinch it a little bit in the ruck last week, but he looked like he was in the ruck a little bit more this week. And I think that hurt him a little bit too. No real direct big man as a just a get-out kick if need be.
Absolutely. That ruck situation, last week they got away with it in terms of Jack Silvani, second ruck, young Tom De Conning. Tom De Conning, is it? Sam's up down the road at Geelong. But Tom De Conning shouldering that load. He's been in there for a while now. And we actually spoke to Mark Pitney pre-game last week about, you know, that they're depleted in that area and they're trying to find avenues and solutions outside of, you know, without their frontliners available. So a side like North Melbourne, of which, again, let's not discredit North Melbourne or downplay what North Melbourne do, because Todd Goldstein, he put it on a platter today for your Ben Cunningtons, Jai Simkin, Luke Davis, Uniac, Taron Thomas is building in there nicely. So they've got a really nice midfield contingent. And that side that they had today, barring Robbie Tarrant, it was essentially full strength North Melbourne. And they were the club in the first month, it was their injury list was to the level of the games missing and the experience missing. Was 10 goal swing.
Yeah, so that centre bounce, 22-9 in the end. That's a procession. Goldie just kept putting it, as you said, on a platter. And, you know, the Blues didn't look as comfortable in there as they have been in previous weeks. And when you're getting that sort of ground position consistently out of the centre bounce, it's really hard to then have to transition back. The funny thing is they kicked, I think, 45 or 46 points out of their defensive 50, the Roos. Now, that'd almost be world record for this year, I reckon. The ability to transition from D50 to forward 50. Mick, I know you've spent a bit of time with Rossi Lyon. He'd be very upset if his defensive action allowed one goal from the D50 full-length transition, let alone, what's that, seven goals.
Yeah, so it was that, but then it was also that last kick inside forward 50, some of the behind the goals vision that the eye in the sky doesn't lie, was Ross Lyon's great saying, that the eye in the sky does not lie. And some of these Carlton defenders, they weren't getting help much with the pressure up the field, but at the end of the day, your back six at times have to defend. And there was caravanning and just one-on-one, just, yep, I've got you, but I really haven't got you. There was a couple today where, you know, the North Melbourne forwards, you know, they got really good access to the ball in a bruise-free environment. And, you know, Nathan Larkey, they all filled their boots, you know, the longer the game went.
I think you did, and they didn't. What's happened from just looking from afar of last month, is that the Blues have relied on a greater amount of pressure at the ball, which has allowed their defenders to be a little bit more proactive. When your system breaks down through the middle and you can't get much heat on, as you said, you've got to get back and you've got to start laying some body on. And they got caught a little bit in between being too proactive and not being able to get back quick enough.
And what they've relied on so much this year is, you know, Liam Jones and Wiedering have been, you know, they've been bankable. So it's been, yep, regardless of how everyone else is going, they're so consistent, they're so reliable. Today, Wiedering had, you know, a really poor one, but which he's entitled to because he's had a really good year. So he had a poor one, but then, you know, in that consistent team environment, you know, you can allow one of those, you know, every 6 or 7 weeks for a key player, but knowing others are going to come through and pick up the slack, and that slack just wasn't picked up, was it?
So in the context of the season then, because it was another development sort of year for the Blues coming into it, we'd hoped that they'd be on the trajectory to potentially play a part of finals, and that's now just about off the agenda given today's result. Is the pressure externally on the club fair at the moment, given the situation that they find themselves in?
Well, it is a funny one. I think what they've done is they've released some of that pressure by having the review announced and that process ongoing. You know, they've walked some pretty significant AFL figures through the door to be able to actually lift the bonnet, you know, kick the tires and work out exactly what's going on within that footy department, to work out why they haven't been on the trajectory that we've just talked about. So I think that relieves some of the pressure, but there's a point in time it grows and grows and grows, and how significant that becomes will just depend on how they play week in, week out, and today they didn't help themselves.
Are the issues that were identified that we've just explored in our discussion, are they fixable? Like, are they fixable with the current group of players that they've got, or does it need a changed approach?
Well, I think the players they've got, they've committed to, you know, with Williams coming in and Saad, and there's a big commitment to now Cripps long-term. You know, Jack Martin's, they've got some players, and Harry Mackay's just signed on. That group is, there's no, they've done their recruiting in my opinion. You know, they've brought in the ready-made players, and yeah, you need some continuity of playing together to build the brand, but there's probably just that, that little disconnect at the moment between what's required and what's actually getting delivered consistently.
Defensive intent fixable, defensive system and training that's fixable, and they've shown that they can grow that over a period of time. You know, the ability to get centre bounces right with the right mix in there and a supportive ruckman, fixable. So I don't think there's anything there that's not, you know, an Everest for them to climb. It's just a matter of being able to get that done, and, you know, they get their opportunity again next week. That's the great thing about football, but you just don't like seeing games where defensive intent's not quite right. I mean, Hawthorn, who we're gonna watch tonight, they have 88 tackles last week. They averaged 60 for the season. There's an intent in that. And you know, a lot of that comes down to the leaders, both on the field and also your coaching staff and how you can garnish performance.
So as we go to the break, final point on this before we move on to some of the other news that's been made throughout the day, are we worried at all about Teague and his position as the senior coach? I might let you both ponder that as we go to the break here on AFL Nation. That's all part of our news recap for Chicane. Trade quality hand tools with lifetime warranty. We'll continue our discussion and build up towards the Adelaide and Hawthorn match after that. The build up towards Adelaide and Hawthorn, our match for broadcast this evening here on AFL Nation. Just to finish off the chat we've been having about the Carlton result today and the question that I posed prior to the break, Mick, just to put us all under the pump a little bit, I'll go first with my answer, to be fair.
Yep.
I don't think he's had the time. So it's he hasn't even had two full seasons yet since he was appointed full-time senior coach. We've been talking about David Teague here, obviously. So that's where I think he hasn't had the chances yet for action to be taken. And this whole review, I think, has made the situation worse and put pressure on him that's probably not warranted.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've responded. They won the last two, haven't they, before today? So, again, it's we can be a bit reactive in the industry. And, again, a deep breath tomorrow and reflecting on the story. Again, I've been pretty strong on this. The story should be as much about North Melbourne and their rise as much as we are diving into the Carlton discussion. So my take is, and that's a great point, Coxie, so I'm going to stick with you, that he needs some more time. The real watch will be on what happens with Alistair Clarkson, you know, in terms of he's now fully committed and, well, he's never wavered from his commitment to Hawthorn. So he's stuck by that. He's going to be at Hawthorn next year. If he's available in 2023, you'd think he'd be number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 candidate.
Does the whole Collingwood situation also enter the fray here as well in terms of the manoeuvring and this whole Hawthorn thing set alight the coaching landscape pretty much, hasn't it?
You're right. Spot on. There is a lot of history in when dominoes start to fall in terms of, okay, there's now two teams that need coaches. Okay, who's in first? How do we get our hands on the best guy?
And particularly when they're two quite proud clubs, big clubs. Well, three, if you enter Hawthorn into the conversation as well. There's a bit of ego that's also involved in this.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And Carlton, Collingwood, obviously proud clubs. Expectations seem to be a lot higher at those clubs. So how that plays out, it'll be an interesting watch from here.
It certainly will be. The local achievers for Lowe's, the local petroleum people, Chad Wingard.
I like when we do this, Coxie. Chad Wingard.
I should let you do this, given you...
He's in Adelaide somewhere, South Australia.
Track record last week. Grew up in Murray Bridge. Was a member of Murray Bridge's 2009 Imperial Football League team that won the River Murray Football League Premiership.
So tongue twister, isn't it?
It was. I'm glad I got it out. But you're very motivated. What can you tell us about Murray Bridge?
Not a huge amount, I think. I haven't been to Murray Bridge. I haven't spent a huge amount of time in South Australia, to be fair. So Chad Wingard, local achiever of the week. I'll keep an eye on. I'll do a little bit of research for you. By the time we get to in play and Chad has the ball, I'll give you a fun fact about Murray Bridge.
Well, you kept us to a very high standard last